Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. We have about 19 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. So you can see those ship numbers have crept back up again with the opening of those locks, the Bonneville Dam locks that were closed for repairs. So those wheat ships, all the wheat that Pacific Northwest wheat that needs to go out of the river and get sent overseas is now that commerce is back in business again. We have four inbounders. We have eight in our Astoria anchorage, and we have, including one at the port of Astoria, and we have seven outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the north 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, west swells 7 feet at 11 seconds. And we're going to talk today about the birthday of the 163rd birthday this month of the Cape Disappointment Lighthouse. So we're going to talk a little bit about lighthouses today and how important they have been historically to vessels and still are. Part of the whole scheme of navigational aids that are out there to help vessels navigate, especially in bad weather and at night. So very important to have those sort of signposts out there for vessels to tell where they are, since we don't have roads at sea. And it can be really, really important. Things like buoys, lighthouses and things like that, and other things that are called day markers are very, very important for mariners. So but let's take a look first at who's coming and going today. There is a cruise ship on the river today. It's not coming to Astoria. It's the Carnival Imagination, past Astoria inbound really early, maybe around 3 a.m. from Long Beach, California, headed for Portland to the shipyard at Swan Island. So this is not a pleasure cruise. This is kind of business for the ship. It's coming in probably to get repairs and refurbishment at that shipyard. And they have there the largest submergible dry dock in North America. That really big dry dock was actually brought in on a ship itself in pieces a number of years ago. And it is a place, it was brought there specifically to be available for very large vessels like this cruise ship, which is almost 1,000 feet long. So I noticed her coming in the middle of the night like that, 3 a.m., and I thought, well, why is that, you know? So here's my guess. I looked at the tide tables, and that was just about low tide very early this morning. And so sometimes height can be an issue for cruise ships because they're very tall, as you know, from seeing the ships here in Astoria and other places. And so they may have brought her in at that time to take advantage of the extra height above the water with fixed bridges like the Astoria Megler Bridge that you can't open up. And like a drawbridge. And so that may be why she came in the middle of the night, or that may just have been when she arrived there. She'll be in Portland, though, by about 9 a.m. at the Swan Island shipyard. The Liberty Island is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's a bulk carrier, going to be carrying wheat. She'll be in the anchorage by about 8 a.m., and she'll go upriver eventually to pick up that wheat. The Dion is arriving from Japan, headed for the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, opposite Tongue Point on the north side of the channel. She's another wheat ship arriving in that anchorage at about 8:30 a.m. The Silver Lake is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for the Longview anchorage. She's picking up petcoke at the port of Longview. Passing Astoria, maybe around 12:30 p.m., that would put her in Longview around 4 p.m. In our Astoria anchorage, we have the Flora headed for Kalama today to pick up corn, soy, or wheat. Leaving Astoria around 10:30 a.m., maybe in Kalama by 3:30. The Pictor is leaving the anchorage for Kalama. She's going to be picking up wheat there, too. She's going to leave the Astoria anchorage around 2 p.m. and arrive in Kalama by about 7. The African Raven is at the port of Astoria loading logs. And if you want to watch a log ship loading its cargo, you can drive down there on Pier 2 and take a look. It's one of the few places along the Columbia River where you can get that close to a ship that is loading cargo. It's really kind of interesting. So good news for the Port of Astoria to see that revenue-producing ship, because when ships come into a port, they charge fees to the ship for using their services, of course, and that is important revenue for the Port of Astoria. In our anchorages awaiting orders, we have the Emerald Star, the Genco Province, the Alina, the Medi Newport, and the MG Sakura. They're all going to head upriver to pick up cargo eventually, probably, best guess, wheat this time of year. And our outbounders, the American Endurance, is leaving Portland. She's a petroleum tanker, so refined petroleum, maybe jet fuel, gasoline, something like that. Leaving around 3 a.m., passing Astoria outbound, then around 9 a.m. The Cape Horn is heading out of the shipyard in Portland. That's a ship that there for some kind of maintenance or repairs. Leaving around 8 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2 p.m. The Eni is leaving Vancouver. I think maybe bentonite clay on board there, that industrial absorbent. Kitty litter. Can't resist saying that, but, you know, it's used for lots of other things. other than that, but it's what a fun thing to say. Leaving around 11:30 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5:30 p.m. The Thor Fortune is leaving Kalama, corn, soy, or wheat there. Leaving around 1 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 6 p.m. The Athena is leaving Portland with soda ash on board around 4 p.m., passing Astoria outbound then maybe around 6 p.m. Or 10 p.m., rather. The Malto Hope leaving Kalama around 6 p.m. with wheat on board, so maybe about 5 hours later, maybe passing Astoria. And the Amos Integrity is leaving Vancouver around 6:30 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 12:30 a.m. on Thursday, so early Thursday morning. And these times are approximate. It can be affected by everything from the travel time, by weather, wind, tide. If a ship is going against a big rising tide, or if it's coming down on a strong ebb, it might get here quicker. But those are just estimates. So let's talk about lighthouses. I want to recommend to you, if you are a Facebook user, to check out a page that is run by a Long Beach Peninsula resident named Frank Lane, the Long Beach Peninsula Friends of Facebook page. He is just a terrific poster of history stuff, and I found this information on his page, and I asked his permission to mention his name and this page on Facebook, and he said yes. So he posted recently, it was October 15th, actually, the 163rd birthday of the Cape Disappointment Lighthouse. It was first lit on that day in 1856. The Cape D Lighthouse is the second oldest continuously operating lighthouse on the west coast of the U.S. after the Point Pinos Light in California, which was lit on February 1st in 1855. And the reason why Cape Disappointment was not first is that the ship carrying the materials and workers to build her, the Oriole, wrecked on Clatsop Spit on September 18th, 1853, thus delaying construction. So this was well before the advent of Amazon Prime. And so when you wanted something, you had to wait a long time to get it. And the graveyard of the Pacific, part of the reason why the lighthouse was needed is because ships were wrecking in this area, because it was really not easy at sea to tell where the entrance to the river was. So that was part of the evolution in many places of lighthouses, because they were beacons to show you where harbors and other headlands were. So I'm going to read you a little bit from visitlongbeachpeninsula.com. The website, it's all information about things to do on the peninsula. Before there were lighthouses on the peninsula, ships bound for Portland and Astoria navigated their way through the high waves and shifting sandbars, focusing on fluttering white flags and notched trees along the shoreline by day and flickering signal fires by night. These methods were crude at best, and despite heroic efforts, the sea off of the Long Beach Peninsula became known as the graveyard of the Pacific. The lighthouses of the peninsula are favorite visitor stops. These historic lighthouses are two of 750 guarding the shores of the U.S. Cape Disappointment Lighthouse was completed in 1856, and the North Head Lighthouse was completed in 1898. And the North Head Lighthouse came to be because ships that were coming down from the north, from Puget Sound area, which is where many of our ships come from, could not see the Cape Disappointment Lighthouse soon enough to really make use of it. So they put a second lighthouse there, and that is why on that promontory area there, on the peninsula, we have two lighthouses. So an important thing about lighthouses, they are day markers, and they also can let you know where they are at night. So each lighthouse in the U.S. has its own color scheme. The Cape Disappointment Lighthouse has a white background and a black horizontal band around the middle. Another famous lighthouse is the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. That's the graveyard of the Atlantic. It has a black spiral on a white background. So every lighthouse has a unique flashing pattern for its lights and a unique color code for the way it looks, so to help mariners tell where they are. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, and check out Frank Lane's Facebook page, Long Beach Peninsula Friends of Facebook. Have a great day.